in that study, we take measurements of 20, in this case it was 25 major retail sites from around the U.S. and look at the path that most users would do on that site from a technical performance perspective. So we look at going to the site's homepage, searching for an item, adding an item to a cart, and then checking out in the process. And the purpose of the study is to really understand, are the retailers that we're looking at, are they providing excellent quality of service, you know, fast speeds relative to download times, et cetera, and are they, you know, able to handle the load that they're currently getting? This study was done in June, so very recently. And then, you know, are there some predictors as we look at the data that we've collected over this period of a month that we study these sites? Are there predictors that we can look forward into the holiday season and, you know, and see, are these sites going to be ready when load is much higher than it was when the study was done? And basically what we're finding is that there's two classes of retail sites in this study. The top class, which looks very good, certainly is able to hold its own, can function without outages. As you mentioned, Amazon did have a major outage, but can function without outages. Doesn't look like the sites are straining under the load, are doing very well, you know, in terms of providing performance, high-performing, good download times. And then there's a second class of retailers in this study, and those are the retailers that we're concerned about. They're retailers that had major outages during this month. We had one retailer that reported over 15 hours of downtime in a single month. You know, clearly there's a huge amount of financial implications wrapped around that, not to mention customer satisfaction and other issues that come with being down. And we have other retailers who, from a load handling perspective, which is a metric that we look at, again, it's a good measure of, is the site straining under current load, and it's a good predictor of how the site will do under higher loads. We had a few sites of these 25 that really don't appear to be ready for holiday loads, that are already straining under relatively low summertime load, and that doesn't bode well really for the upcoming holiday season.
One obvious question is, have you reached out to any of the retailers involved and gotten a sense from them whether they had always planned on adding to their systems right before the holiday season? In other words, are these results necessarily indicative of what's going to happen when the holidays are really upon them?
I think that's a good question. So it's sort of the idea of just-in-time capacity, that in theory, you know, could these sites be holding back some capacity and then throwing them on, you know, when needed? I would say, given our experience with these sites and working with a lot of the technical folks at a lot of these companies, I would say that that's probably not the case. People are still preparing for load, but to actually have a system right now which is not providing quality service, and to excuse that by saying, well, we're going to add load, you know, capacity later, certainly doesn't make sense. I mean, none of the sites, even in the summertime, want to be struggling or want to be down, as an example. So I think it is possible that things could turn around for some of these sites. However, I don't think this is an intentional, repositioning of capacity. I think it's more that these sites were caught a bit unaware at the time that we did the study.
Do you know how many of them were sort of using outsourced hosting facilities? Because you could have a real domino effect.
Certainly, right. So we don't really, as part of the study, get into the hosting facility or locations. There's several have multiple hosting providers, multiple data centers. Others don't. Several use, of course, outsource content delivery networks like Akamai. But that really didn't seem to be necessarily a factor for the ones that we do know about in terms of who did well and who didn't do well. It's a good question, but I don't think that that necessarily was what was playing here.
Sure, because there's a whole segment of the hosting universe out there, a host of hosts, if you will,
right,
that for $10,000 a month will give you all you can eat.
Right.
But it seems to me that these continued double-digit compound growth rates for internet shopping and internet, forget about shopping, browsing and discovery.
Correct.
Know, discovery and price comparisons have to be causing them to strain under the load. And I wonder how, like I said, more and more it seems attractive to just outsource your whole data center, especially if you're a small to mid-sized retailer. And you wonder, not just would one come to its knees, but would a whole sort of class of retailers just just come to their knees.
Correct, with too much interconnectedness. In these cases, I mean, as I, they're 25 retailers. They're all major retailers, you know, Best Buy, Walmart, Amazon, JCPenney. You know, so probably in that case, most of them, if they have an outsourced solution, they're probably dedicated to them, or they're you know, more than likely hosting their own infrastructure. I could certainly see that, though, for the mid-sized retailer who are, you know, trying to save costs, consolidate, moving to a shared hosting environment, and then having that domino effect if the hosting environment goes down, you know, affecting not just one but maybe multiple sites.
You threw out some big names there, and a couple of them have just announced they passed $1 billion a year in online revenue. And I wonder if they're not experiencing a similar effect of moving through the tiers as they would in their brick and mortar kind of counterpart. Because when you go from when you go to $250 million, let's say, for example, the change isn't linear, it becomes exponential. Same as you move up, when you move up into $500 million tier or $1 billion tier, there's a real dramatic thing that happens when you break $1 billion. And there's a reason why they call them tiers. It's not just some linear arbitrary projection that people like us put on. It's actually a dramatic shift in what happens to the kind of dynamics of your business, and the infrastructure needs to change, and the procedures need to change, and a whole bunch of things need to change. I wonder if we're seeing that same kind of implication on websites, where in fact you hit a tier of exponential growth as opposed to linear.
I think that's very very concise and accurate. You know, these load levels don't just nicely sort of linearly go up, as you said, year over year or month over month. We've seen huge growths, you know, between years, and in terms of the spike load that happens on the holidays, it can be 4, 5, 6, 10x, you know, what's normal. So I think it just reinforces the idea that as this online channel becomes more and more important in terms of profitability, in terms of a real channel, which maybe 6 years ago that wasn't the case, or 5 years ago, or maybe even for some of these companies 2 or 3 years ago wasn't the case, but as it becomes a real profit center and it's key to not only their revenues but also how their stock fares, et cetera, that it really, you know, enforces the idea that you have to be on top of providing operational excellence, quality to your users, and, you know, that users aren't going to tolerate anymore as the Internet becomes more sort of, you know, like a utility, ubiquitous, that they're not going to tolerate anymore, you know, 1 hour, 2 hour, like I said, some sites 13 or 14 hours of downtime. You know, it's going to become really catastrophic in terms of the financial implications.
The other thing we don't know, and this is Mark, is we don't know how much of the traffic to the site is legitimate traffic and how much of the traffic is autobots or distributed denial of service attacks, and how much of the fact that they weren't able to handle the load may be bad planning on the part of them or their ISP, or it may be deliberate attacks and security-related concerns that may have caused denial of service as well. So that means that as you rely on e-commerce and electronic payment systems and the web for this, you also have to be cognizant of all of the security considerations on protecting it to ensure that it's up and running and available.
Yeah, I agree. And clearly, I mean, we looked at these sites over a month, so our hope would be that when we create the profile for the load handling metric that we're referring to, that, you know, we aren't just capturing sites when there might be a denial of service attack or some sort of issue on the site, but in fact that it's typical of the site that it handles a load poorly. And I don't want to paint the picture that all sites are like that. Clearly, in this industry, we saw some really stellar performers in load handling, especially two sites. I'll give you an example of Barnes & Noble and Gap, very excellent in this area, really sort of even outside of the retail industry would be considered best in class in load handling. During this time, at least, and, you know, again, bodes well for them as loads increase over the holiday period. The only other thing I'll say that we did find that was interesting is how these retailers are interacting with their dial-up customers. And, you know, as the number of dial-up users shrank, I think the retailers have become somewhat less interested in that consumer group. But I'm not sure that that's really a smart move because we think about dial-up as dial-up at home, and a lot of folks, you know, I think the number is 30% in the U.S. still have dial-up at home. That might not be a very large number, and it certainly is shrinking. But we've all been in situations where, you know, in an airport on a poor wireless connection or in a hotel on what's supposed to be a broadband connection, you get basically what amounts to a dial-up experience. And so I think they may be underestimating the number of users on dial-up. And we found in the study, you know, again, this is all statistically based, you know, data. It's not just my opinion. But we found in the study that some of the sites were taking over 100 seconds to download and render a page for the dial-up user. And in fact, the average across all of the sites we studied was 30 seconds per page. So you can imagine as you start to stack pages together, moving from the home page to the search to the checkout, it could be 10 or 11 pages, and that's if you find exactly what you want right away. You're talking about a huge amount of weight for these users, and I think that's a an interesting finding relative to the data we collected that says that maybe the retailer should consider that there still is a significant portion of folks who are on dial-up connections, and they do have money to spend and want to be part of this online experience, but are being shut out by some of the retailers and their poor performance.
And I would agree with that, and also add that there are ways to distinguish between mobile users and dial-up users, but it's not by bandwidth, it's by browser and the like, and that retailers need to segment those populations. Because just as you have impulse purchasers who buy stuff on the checkout stand, you have people who are impulse purchasers when they've got a little bit of dead time and want to buy something immediately over their mobile phone. And if you have to wait 30 or 40 or 100 seconds to be able to see and find the product, you're just not going to buy it.
That's exactly right. And I think you're very accurate about segmenting the market. Dell is a good example, though they've had some bad press about some other issues. But in this case, Dell is a good example of a site that actually is automatically sensing, based on some technology that they've developed, the connection of the user, and for a narrow band or dial-up connected user, providing a slightly slimmed down, though you wouldn't really notice it visually, version of their page. And they were one of the fastest home pages that we measured across these 25 sites. They were certainly the fastest in the electronics category, and I think the second fastest overall. But it illustrates that you can serve both markets, and we don't have to go back to the days where there's a link that says click here for the text version of the site. Certainly no one would recommend that model. But you can do things sophisticatedly behind the scenes that actually give the experience that a dial-up user would appreciate, still not lightning fast, but fast enough, and yet still keep the richness and the interactivity that your broadband or high-speed user might be looking for.